Thanks for listening to the Friday Live Extra from NET Radio, a weekly podcast featuring arts and humanities in Nebraska, and an online-only feature we produce in conjunction with our weekly radio show, Friday Live. I'm Genevieve Randall, and on this week's podcast, we talk about a comedy that was a Broadway hit in 1950, currently being produced and staged by Omni Arts Nebraska. The show is Bell, Book, and Candle. Dustin Witte is directing, and Jesse Porter plays Jillian, the main character in the show. It's great to have you both here.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
You bet. So, Jesse, your character casts spells, or casts a particular spell in this show. Tell me about Jillian and her kind of animal assistant.
In order to cast spells, witches in some cases need a familiar, which is an animal, to help do their master's bidding. And Gillian actually uses a cat named Pie Wacket. So in the show, anytime she casts a spell, she goes and grabs her little friend and says a few words, and bada bing. spell cast.
I like the bada bing. That's good.
Thank you. Yeah, that's not in the show, though.
Pie Wacket. What an interesting name for a cat.
It is. I had to look that up. It's interesting because the play is a comedy. It's lighthearted. Uh-huh. You know, it's witches in Manhattan in the late 50s or early 60s, really. But the playwright did his research. The name Pie Wacket is associated to a witch that was on trial in the 1600s.
Oh, really?
And she, like, they imprisoned her for several days, and then she came out yelling all of these names of different demons, spirits, familiars, Pie Wacket being one of them.
Oh, wow. And so there's the name of her familiar then,
right,
in the show.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know, and the phrase Bell, Book, and Candle, that comes from sort of this ritual or ceremony that would excommunicate someone from the church, but I gather it's used a little bit differently in this show.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is just those, I mean, the idea of those items together as it relates to things that are stylistically witchy, uh-huh, that's certainly a part of it. Gillian references it specifically as it relates to exorcising her, actually. Having her powers stripped is the specific reference in the play, which is pretty fired up arguing.
Mentioning your powers being stripped here, who are the other characters in the show? Why do we even bring that up at all? There's some other characters involved here.
Yeah,
playing into this.
There's a family of supernatural people. There's Jesse playing Gillian. There's her younger brother, Nicky Holroyd, played by Anthony Delaney, and their aunt, I should say. They're on the East Coast. and her name is Aunt Queenie. And they get together for Christmas every year. They keep each other in check. They challenge each other. And those are our magical characters. And then we also have the man who lives upstairs, Shepard Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
He's a handsome publisher, played by Brett Olson, and a writer who's come to town recently. He's interested in exposing magic in the modern world. And he just was in Mexico writing about it there, and now he's come to Manhattan.
So how does Gillian feel about this neighbor?
Oh, well, she loves him. No, she actually doesn't love him. Not yet, at least. She admires him from afar at first and is really interested in meeting him, a human, someone unlike her. And so when she finds out that he is to be married, mm-hmm, also finds out that she's not a big fan of the woman that he is about to marry, and so that kind of sparks this.
Yeah, sort of goads her into
casting the spell. So it's partly her fascination with her neighbor, mm-hmm, and partly her disdain for his fiance. So it's a little bit of both. But since she cannot love because she is a witch, that's part of the play, is her possibly,
mm-hmm,
finding
there's always
love,
something you
possibly
have to come across in the storyline, mm-hmm, that you trip over, right? And
yep,
it's like, oh, wait, that's what we're tripping over. Now, there's something else that I find curious about this. I mentioned that this was a Broadway show, but then in 1958, it became a kind of a Christmas time movie as well. And I'm wondering, what role, if any, do the holidays play in this show?
Well, the first written act of the play takes place Christmas Eve, and then later that night, sort of into Christmas Day morning. I think that the Christmas season brings out something that is very nostalgic in us, very reminiscent, and also kind of mystical. I think people do associate a kind of magic to the holiday season. I think as it relates to film, it was a vehicle for Jimmy Stewart playing Shepard Henderson at the time, and, you know, It's a Wonderful Life and all of these other kind of holiday classics that he's become associated with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is certainly a part of it. But I think the play uses Christmas as a time to entertain that enchantment, really.
I see. Yeah, I just think a lot of people, when you hear the word witch, you have sort of this very stereotyped, you know, vision in your head. And you're focusing, from what I'm hearing the two of you say, on the magic portion of it. And that definitely feels like a visual for the holidays for me.
Absolutely.
But not so much the traditional, you know, black cape and pointy hat.
No, these are not those kind of witches.
They
figured out how to live and get by in Manhattan, certainly.
Anything else you'd like to highlight about your particular production of this show?
Well, I mean, it does feature a live cat, as you said. Daniel and I have three cats at home. We auditioned them, and our little Iggy, she's a small, long-haired black cat. And she loves to be on stage. She likes to sing.
Now, see, I love this idea, but you said two other cats?
Yes,
other
we
than
do.
Iggy? Are they a little jealous of this spotlight that Iggy is getting?
There's a changing dynamic at home. She definitely is acting like the diva now.
My cat is even jealous because he didn't even get an audition.
Oh, no. Jesse, have you consoled your cat through this?
I've tried to explain it to him the best that I can, but in the end, you know, Iggy was best for the part, so.
Well, there you go. What can you do, right? I love it. I hope we get a photo of Iggy here we can put up maybe on the website.
Oh,
that
sure.
would be great.
I could send you one.
Okay, perfect. I've been talking here with Dustin Witte and Jesse Porter about Bell, Book, and Candle. Omni Arts Nebraska presents the show at Johnny Carson Theater at the Lead Center in Lincoln, December 7th through the 10th. Now, Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., and then it's a 2 p.m. show on that Sunday there, the 10th. Dustin and Jesse, thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
The Friday Live Extra is a weekly podcast from NET Radio. Production help from Dave Hughes. Our theme music is by Alexios Anest. You can learn more about people and groups involved in arts and humanities in Nebraska by listening to Friday Live, broadcast statewide each week on NET Radio, streaming audio and video online at netnebraska.org, and also available as a podcast. I'm Genevieve Randall.